Our guest at this time is Admiral James Stavridis. Good morning to you, Admiral.
Great to be on with you, Jim, and all my best to the folks in Louisiana.
Well, it's good to hear your voice, and I know that before we get started on current events, one of the things that happened since we scheduled your interview was this tragedy in Japan. What's going on there?
As you have read, we've had a terrible, horrific accident at sea. One of our destroyers was struck by a commercial vessel three times its size. It struck the ship right at the point where the captain's cabin is. So it happened at 2 o'clock in the morning. The captain was grievously injured. So the ship had to fight its way through a potential sinking. I mean, the ship was taking on water, could have sunk entirely. The crew managed to stabilize the situation without their captain, by the way, to lead them. And the ship eventually made it back into port. Tragically, seven sailors had been sealed into these watertight compartments as the watertight doors closed to try and keep the ship afloat, so they all died. So this is a significant, very rare event at sea, and we ought to be mindful of the heroic courage of the crew that kept the ship afloat in a very dangerous situation.
Well, since the time of the Greeks and the Persians clashing on the Mediterranean, sea power has determined world power. And today, I think, based on the weaponry that is available, this is more pronounced than ever. You are one who wants to make it crystal clear why our oceans are so important. How significant is the water when it comes to protection of the United States and the world at large?
Yeah, it's absolutely vital, and I'd encourage your listeners to just look at a map of the globe. 70% of the world is covered by water. In fact, you could take all the land in the world, Jim, and compress it, and would fit into the Pacific Ocean. Also, 70% of the oxygen we breathe comes from the oceans, from photosynthesis that happens at sea. The oceans are really the lungs of the earth. And thirdly, as we've talked about, geopolitically, the United States is lucky to be surrounded by enormous coasts. We have the largest usable coastline in the world of any nation, and yet we still face challenges at sea, particularly now as both Russia and China are resurgent and are building their fleets. So the lesson of history that I tried to unpackage in the book Sea Power is that our ability to operate on the maritime domain and to provide a global commons so that 95% of the world's trade can move is vital to us as a nation. That's the real message of the book.
Admiral James Stavridis is our guest, the Supreme Allied Commander at NATO at one time, and now we hear that NATO is being reexamined. How important, in your view, is NATO to the stability of the United States and the rest of the world?
Without question, NATO is our most crucial partner. After the election and before he was inaugurated, I met with Donald Trump for over an hour to have this conversation with him, and you've seen a moderating of his position on NATO. A year ago, he was saying NATO's obsolete, maybe we'll get out, we won't necessarily come to the defense of our allies. That tune has changed, and it's good that it has. Our European allies are the best pool of partners we'll have. They share our values. They spend collectively the second largest defense budget in the world after ours is NATO Europe. The Europeans spend more than China and Russia combined. They're good return on investment. They're terrific partners who've been with us in Afghanistan, Libya, the Balkans, Syria, piracy, cyber. We ought to understand their value. I'm hopeful that that light has gone on for the Trump administration.
Well, the U.S. Is, of course, a maritime nation. 95% of global trade moves by sea, so your book in many ways is preaching to the choir, but I think many are probably unaware of how significant the oceans are to the stability of the United States. And this is affected somewhat, you say, by the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the U.S. withdrawal. How so?
By stepping back from this Pacific trade arrangement, which would have brought 11 other nations into the largest trading bloc in the world, by the United States stepping away from that, it creates both a trade and a geopolitical vacuum that China is very happy to fill. And China is playing a long game in the Pacific. What they desire above all is to lay claim to the South China Sea, an area the size of the Gulf of Mexico. They want that as a territorial sea, and it comes with billions of barrels of oil and trillions of cubic feet of natural gas. So we need to ensure that we don't create vacuum over in the Pacific, and by walking away from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, we did so. And so I'm very concerned long-term about U.S. influence in the Pacific if we don't, A, have a capable maritime component, but B, we need a trade regime alongside that.
There have been reports, Admiral, that Russia's military is developing submarine capability. Is this accurate based on what you know?
It is, absolutely. And Russia, at the end of the Cold War 20 years ago, Jim, mothballed a great deal of their fleet. They broke up ships, literally, and they lost the emphasis on the maritime world. Today, under Vladimir Putin, they've reversed that. Russia will deliver 100 new ships to the fleet in the next 3 years, many more than we are building currently. And they are very, very capable, especially in submarine undersea warfare. We need to be very mindful of that because they will challenge us not only on the deep ocean, but literally off the coast of the United States, especially, I might add, in the Arctic.
How much of a concern is there that ISIS might invade Europe through the Mediterranean southern border?
It's happening, and we're seeing it in the slipstream of refugees that are moving across the Aegean Sea and moving across the central Mediterranean into Greece and into Italy most prominently. In that slipstream of hundreds of thousands of refugees, there are a number of jihadists. They're using those sea routes to move in. This is where American sea power combined with our NATO allies can do the best job of patrolling, screening, finding the jihadists in the mix, plucking them out. All of that needs to be done at sea so we don't end up defending ourselves back here or in the European capitals of our partners.
And North Korea, I'm sure you hear many questions about what North Korea could do if they had nuclear weapons and open waters to use those weapons.
Indeed. Let's begin with the geography. North Korea is a Korea, I should say, north and south, is a peninsula. It's surrounded on three sides by water. It's like Florida. So our ability to project power, which creates deterrence to undermine the desire of Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, comes largely from the sea. We have three massive aircraft carriers available and ready to project that power ashore with our fighter jets. We have our submarines and our surface destroyers and cruisers to launch Tomahawk missiles. They work with our Army partners ashore. But that flexibility to come from the sea and generate all that power, I think, is what creates a deterrent regime that over time we can walk Kim Jong-un off his dangerous path toward nuclear weapons.
The book is Sea Power, The History and Geopolitics of the World's Oceans from Admiral James Stavridis. Before we go, what's the biggest danger point in the world right now in your judgment?
I think we just talked about it. It's North Korea because of the instability of this young leader. His name is Kim Jong-un. That's a good name for him because he's unpredictable and unstable. He's got nuclear weapons and increasingly the ability to deliver them at range. That's a global security problem. We're going to have to partner with our allies and probably with China to address it. A lot of the solution will come from the sea.
The endorsement for Sea Power from Senator John McCain. No one understands the importance of the oceans and their impact on today's security better than Admiral Jim Stavridis. Thank you for joining us, Admiral. It's been a pleasure.
It's my pleasure, Jim. Thanks for having me on.